One thing that's, I'm always aware of is that whether you're up here or out there, it's all the Lord. Here's Bible study. And you're out there and I'm up here, but that's the only difference. Anything that happens to the glory of God, he did it. That's the way it always is. So anyway, let's get started. If you've been coming out to Living Waters very long, you become familiar with certain scriptures. You hear them all the time. Like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everybody's familiar with that. Or Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And 2 Timothy 2:12, which tells us, "If we suffer with Jesus, we'll reign with him." Favorites all. But the one that intrigued me the most was 1 Samuel 17:47. "The battle is the Lord's." I remember thinking, if the battle is the Lord's, then why do I feel like I'm doing all the fighting? So I went back to the scriptures to take another look at that particular scripture. And you find it in 1 Samuel. I have to read this all to you to make the point. Starting with chapter 17, starting in verse 20. "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that is coming up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard what he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I thou done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed, that means he analyzed, to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them out off of him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine. Now, David wasn't even supposed to be there, but he was the youngest of his father's 8 sons and was supposed to be watching the sheep. But his father sent him to the front to take some parched corn and 10 loaves to his 3 elder brothers and look in on them to see how they fared. And like a younger brother, he wanted to take a peek at the battlefield. So it seems the Philistines had invaded Israel. By the way, Philistine means wanderer and represents religious folk without salvation. You know, those fine upstanding pillars of the community that, well, they're good enough. And if there is a heaven, well, we're good enough to make it, they think. So, if anyone's going to get to heaven, it's them, they believe. So anyway, the Philistines were looking for a fight. Just a side note, though, every battle that we go through, every battle is in the body, soul, or spirit. It's not out there with people or circumstances. It's in here. This is every single battle that we fight. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to come back to that. You probably already knew that Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Back to the battle. The Philistines kept sending out their champion, Goliath of Gath, who said, choose a man and let him come down to fight with me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Now Goliath was 18 cubits and a span. A cubit is about a foot and a half, and a span 9 inches. So I make him to be about 10 or 11 feet tall. And Goliath had a big brass helmet on his big old head. Now, the reason I can say big old head, because look at his size. He's 11 feet tall. Man, have a big head. Anyway, he wore a coat of mail weighing 5,000 shekels or pennies or 100 pounds. His staff or spear weighed 15 pounds. This guy was massive. Now, have you ever been faced with that kind of adversary or circumstance, one where it seemed impossible to overcome, and yet here you are? So, maybe you still are in the battle, but let's see how this one turned out. You guys know the story. Remember, David had defeated a lion and a bear while guarding his father's sheep? I tell my children to every now and then take a look back and remember what God has done for you. David's situation makes me think of Romans 5:3-5. I'm sure if I asked every one of you if you could quote it, I'm sure you could. It's the one that says, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience. Experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now, do you think that David learned anything from his encounters with the lion and the bear? Of course he did. You would. I would, too. Sometimes I think we read these accounts so matter-of-factly. Now, do you suppose David's heart beat a little faster as he was going to recover the sheep? Doesn't your heart, when you're in that type of battle, get a little bit excited? So when you start tribulating, that's a word I just made up. When you start tribulating, do you take the time to look back and remember the past battles? Isaiah 40:31, another one of those scriptures that everybody's read before. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What do you think, or what do you suppose, they're doing while they're waiting to renew their strength? I say remembering the past battles and victories and who gave them both. So in the story, Saul decided to send David out against this fierce giant of a man and arm him with armor, helmet, sword, and a coat of mail. I'm sure this armor was nowhere near as strong as Goliath's, but David says, I can't wear these. I haven't tried them yet. Ephesians tells us to put on the whole armor of God, to stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So David takes his staff, which can be used as a weapon or a support to walk with. So this staff can be used as a weapon or a support to walk with. And takes 5 smooth stones from the brook, symbolizing strength and grace, and puts the stones in his bag. In his bag. Remember what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:2? Remember, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It is amazing what you can do with 5 smooth stones. Back to the story. Imagine this 10 or 11 foot giant coming at you whose sole purpose is to take off your head. What a sight! Have you ever had a trial that seemed to get bigger and bigger the longer it lasted? Well, David's response was, go back to 1 Samuel 17. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Folks, the battle was over at that point. It was over. He was coming in the name of the Lord. Who could stand against the Lord? Battle was over. All that remained was the doing of it. So why does it seem like I'm doing all the fighting if the battle is the Lord's? That was my original thought. 2 Corinthians 1:9 has an answer. It says, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Moffat says this in Vine's dictionary, that verse that says, but this was to make me not rely on myself, but on God who raiseth the dead. I had an experience about a little over a month ago. I was taking my sister's to one of her doctor's appointments, and if you've ever gone to the hospitals, sometimes the parking lots are really full. It's kind of hard to find a space. You might have to go way back someplace. But there was a parking space right in front. Now, it was during the COVID crisis, of course, so I couldn't go in, but I needed to use the bathroom. But there was a building part of the same hospital that I could go into. So I drove over there after I dropped off my sister. And as I got there to the second place, there was another parking space right in the front. That's twice. And I had this little thought went through my mind. It said this, I could do this all the time, but if I did what would you learn from it? So why do we fight? Revelations 5:10 tells us so that we can learn to rule and reign, to take the training, not the train. And where do we learn it? Look at Ephesians 5:33. I like this one. Says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. It tells me that I learned this by his side as a loving wife. And don't you love Proverbs 31, 11 and 12? Everybody knows this one too. Matter of fact, I'm sure everybody could stand here and say the same things I'm saying right now. But it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of a spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life, of her life. So when do you think that he learned that he could trust in her? Well, he's seen her trust in him time after time after time after time. She convinced him. He knew he could trust in her. He had seen her do it. We all know that Psalms 37:23 is one of another ones that we quote all the time. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Those opportunities to trust him, he ordered them, each one of them. So he saw it, but he's the one that brought it up. All she did was say, yes, I'll do it. I'll trust him, not myself, him. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, are you confident that Jesus is going to do what he said he would do? Amen. Matthew 4, the temptation of Jesus. Let's take a look over there. Matthew 4. Right out the gate, right out the gate, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, here's a question for you. Are you led into your battles? Are you sure? Of course you are. You know how I know that? Romans 11, 36. Word of God is just so exciting. Sometimes just can't keep it down. Anyway, it says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, I just read that scripture, and I never read the words except for anywhere in there. Whatever you're going through, he didn't say, well, he's in that, but except for this. He's in all things. All things. Believe that. You trust him. So, anyway, back to Matthew 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, that is, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You can find that in Deuteronomy 8:3. So he is being tested in his body, tempted in his body. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Tempted in his soul. Do this. You can do this. If you're really the Son of God, you can do this. But again, it was written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And that's in Deuteronomy 6:13 and 10:20. So he was tried in the spirit as well. Remember, I told you that every battle that you're fighting is in here. And what Jesus did, and it's recorded, he gave us a blueprint for every battle that we go through. It's a blueprint. And that's the word of God. He kept saying, it is written. That's the value of the word of God. That's why we need to read the word of God. Paul the apostle for this age wrote concerning the body, Romans chapters 6 and 7. I won't read them for time's sake, but it concluded with Romans 7:25. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law, that's the will of God. But with the flesh, that is the body, the law of sin. As far as the soul is concerned, 1 Peter 5:6 says it like this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That is the soul. And when my head gets a little big, and I'm thinking I'm a little bit more than what I should, a thought always comes to my mind. Do you want glory now or for eternity? If you think of it that way, it's not much of a choice to be made. So, when it comes to the Spirit, there are TV evangelists trying to soak you if you let them, and the books of all sorts to help you. Help books. Well, John 4:23 says, True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Hebrews 11:1 says, Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 1 John 5:4 tells us that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But Colossians 3:3 tells us, you're dead. What can a dead man do? Well, that leads us to Galatians 2:20. It's one that I really shouldn't look up because everybody in this building knows it. But I like reading it. I am crucified. Remember, we're dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'll close with the answer to the original question. Why do I feel like I am doing all the fighting? The answer, I'm not. It's the Christ in me fighting and winning those battles. So as Moffat said, so that I might learn not to rely on myself, but on God, who raises the dead. And to say that a little clearer, 2 Corinthians 3:5 We heard it the other night. Actually, Joel, you quoted this. 2 Corinthians 3:5. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And 2 Corinthians 12:9, I like this even more. And again, one of those scriptures that we all quote. It says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul continues and says, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And there is something else, one more thing, and that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you have a car, if you have a favorite car, if you have a dream of a favorite car, if you have it, I don't care how nice it is and what it looks like. I have a secret for you. If you don't have any gas, you're not going anywhere. That's the Holy Spirit. We have a beautiful sanctuary. And daytime is okay. You can still look around pretty good. But you know, if we turn out these lights right now, everything would still be here. But see, we have to have a light switch. You need a light switch. I need a light switch. You know what that is? It's the Holy Spirit. You want to go someplace? You want to see better? Want to get a better vision of the things that we're talking about all the time? Get the Holy Spirit. Stay full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, every day. So, and with that, Galatians 5:6 says, faith which worketh by love. None of the things that we talked about tonight are really going to be effective for you without the love of God in your heart. That's what makes all this work for you. So I hope I've done you some good. And I tell you what, Roxanne, why don't you dismiss it?